Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 29, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 249. We'll read verses 25 through 29. We'll read responsibly verses 25 through 29 of the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. And may we stand, please, as is our custom to do. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. And the text verse is the next verse. Let's read it together, please. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's pray. Father, it's a wonderful privilege and opportunity that we have, being able to freely assemble ourselves in this place, our church. Thank you for all the friends we have in this place. Thank you for the many friends who've left this place and gone to be with thee. And thank you for the memory of many great people, both past and present. We pray that you'd bless now in our services tonight, and may we carry memories of this service, sweet memories of helped lives and changed hearts. God bless us, we pray. Speak through our preacher and speak plainly and clearly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
A little child asks, what's that? There's an era or stage through which a child goes that those are the two only words in his vocabulary. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? And then, of course, why? How? What? Little children ask. I think about the old story that's oft told, and you've told it and heard it, about the little child that said, Mama said, what does the world sit on? And the mama said, honey, the world sits on the shoulders of a big man. He holds it up. The little child said, Mama, what does the man sit on? The mother was busy and somewhat aggravated, said, the man sits on a big rock, honey. The child said, Mama, what does the rock sit on? And child, mama said, honey, the rock sits on a big, tall pole. Mama, what's a pole set on? Mama said, honey, hush, the pole goes all the way to the bottom. Now, every parent in this room has had equally scientific explanations that you've given to your child. But the children ask. You see, man is born rebelling against the unknowable. That's what the child is doing. He resents mystery. At least he resents it remaining a mystery. From the child exploring the closet at Christmas time, the astronaut exploring space, man is attempting to unlock closed doors and fathom hidden things. Somebody said, why did you climb the big mountain? He said, because it was there. It was there. Man wants to find, if you want to have people look in something, just put a little box out in the vestibule saying, please don't look in here. Be better than a public announcement made in the service. We used to have a lady in the church, when I pastored the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas. She wasn't a bad lady. She just had an amplifier that would carry her voice around the whole neighborhood. And if I wanted to get a, if we're going to have a meeting, and I wanted to get the people to come to a a special meeting. I wouldn't advertise it in the newspaper or on the radio. I'd go to her house and say to her, ma'am, we're going to have a meeting, but it must not be told. Somehow or other, we always had 100% attendance at the meeting, and that's all I had to do. People like to do what you say they can't do, and people like to see what you can't say they can't see, and people like to explore mysteries. By the way, this is not wrong. Man has a right to discover whatever he can discover. He has a right to knock at the door until God answers his patient search by revealing the mystery. If there's a divine law of learning the secret things, we find that divine law in our text. Bible says the revealed or the secret things belong to God, and the revealed things belong to man. Now, the secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us. And as we act on the revealed, God reveals the secret. Much like the message I preached in the morning, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know a truth. That truth does not set you free. But the obeying of that truth sets you free. That you may know another truth that binds you until you obey it, and then when you obey it, it sets you free. The truth doesn't set you free. The knowing of it, it's the obeying of the truth that sets you free. You didn't get saved when you heard the gospel. You got saved when you believed the gospel. And so you hear a truth and you're bound. And then you obey that truth and you're set free. Set free to what? To learn another truth that binds you. And then you're bound until you obey that truth. You obey that truth, it sets you free. The obedience of the truth sets you free. And free to what? Free to what you want to? No, free to take another truth and learn that truth that binds you until you obey it, and it sets you free, that you may learn a deeper truth that binds you until you obey it, and that sets you free to learn a deeper truth that you may obey it, that and that sets you free. Now, tonight, we're dissecting that just a little bit. We're not just discussing tonight the learning of a truth that binds you, that you obey, and the obedience sets you free. We're adding a little something, dissecting it a bit, and this is it. God reveals to us things to do. When we do those things, then God reveals to us the secret things. You see, every revealed thing has a corresponding secret thing. These pews on which you're sitting tonight. You sit on these pews, but there's something behind those pews. We purchased them. Somebody made them. They made out of a certain thing. Now, when the revealed thing, behind every revealed thing, there's a corresponding secret thing. Now, follow me carefully. The obeying of the revealed is the key that unlocks the door to the secret. Disobedience is the dam that blocks the flow of truth. Every revealed thing is united with a secret thing that is hidden, and God waits with the secret thing before he gives it me until I do the revealed thing. And when I act on the revealed, God invites me to its mystery to know the mystery. But if you want to know the deep things of God, you won't know the deep things of God by seeking for the deep things of God. You know the deep things of God by acting upon the revealed thing. God said the revealed is for me and the secret is for him. Now God says, I want to invite you in on my secret. But I won't invite you in on my secret until you do what I have revealed to you. Now, you listen, you can sit all you want to and study that book. And all across the nation, theologians who are as dead as last year's Christmas tree are doing it. And they're going and drying up preacher boys and young men that come to Christian colleges all across this nation on fire for God are leaving a bunch of critical, self-righteous, bookworm Pharisees
that lost their fire and lost their zeal. Why? Because they're sitting at the feet of some dusted, dry, dead professor in a school somewhere who doesn't obey God. He's trying to find secret things, but he finds things that are secret even to God because God doesn't know about him yet. And they're not God's truths. Why? Because he has not obeyed the revealed. I don't care who you are. If you don't obey the revealed truth, God will not lift the veil and show you the secret truth behind that revealed truth. So the thing that keeps you from knowing the deep things of God is you've got to obey, pardon me for saying it, don't like the term, but you've got to obey the shallow things of God. You've got to obey the obvious before God reveals to you the secret. And God's curtain of secrecy will be pulled over his great mysteries until we have obeyed the things that are for us. God says revealed things are for you, secret things are for him. But in case you want to know the secret things and enter in the deep truths of God, then you've got to take that which is for you, which is revealed, which is the obvious, and you obey the obvious, and God gives you the secret. I'll say this. No person who's not a soul winner knows the deep things about salvation. Because that's where you learn. God says, if you don't try to get people saved, I won't teach you the mystery of salvation. Now, you can sit in your desk as a theologian somewhere, and I'll be honest, sometimes I want to declare war on theologians. We don't have any at Howells Anderson College. We don't. We got folks that know the Bible, but we don't have any theologians. You know why? I'm not going to have a bunch of lazy hound dogs sitting and standing before our classes that don't win souls and don't obey God and don't have the fire of God in their soul. Listen, a preacher boy, when he graduates, ought to be more on fire than he was when he enrolled as a freshman. And people can find things that are not in the Bible and call the deep things of God. For example, we've been through this, and I've taught this, and especially when I was younger. We spend our time talking about, okay, for example, silver in the Bible is a symbol of redemption. Now, silver may be a symbol of redemption, but the Bible doesn't say so. And to be quite frank with you, I rather think it is, but the Bible doesn't say so. So I don't know. That is not a deep thing of God. For example, brass in the Bible, we say, is a symbol of judgment. That may be, but the Bible doesn't say so. I rather think it is, but I can't prove it. But I can prove you ought to win souls. I can prove you ought to pray. I can prove you ought to walk with God. I can prove that you ought to tell the truth. I can prove that you ought to study the Bible. I can prove that you ought to be clean. I can prove that. Now, what I'm getting at is this. It's time we quit trying to get the secret things first. Let's get the obvious first. Let's get the revealed first. And let's learn that. And God says, okay, when you're doing what is revealed, I'll bring you in my little hidden closet. I'll show you the secret things behind that which was revealed. Now, this is marvelous. It's marvelous for four reasons. And this is not the sermon, but it's parenthetical. First place, I'm glad that everything we do, there is a why. There is a why. Second, I'm glad that God doesn't tell me the why first. Because God ought not to have to tell me why first. God tells me what, that's enough. God tells me to get wet after I get saved and get wet all the way over and get out of the water and come out. That's the what, and that's all I've got to know. I'm saying that far too many of us are trying to find the secret behind baptism before we obey the revealed thing. But the Bible says the revealed thing is for us, and the secret thing is for God. And God will not tell us the reveal of the secret thing until we have done the revealed thing. You know, I say this across this country so much these days, and I've said it here. I think we've emphasized too much the where of the will of God. Students come to my office and they say, Brother Howe, would you help me find the will of God? The other day, a young man came, a very, very pious fellow, came and said, Brother Howe, would you help me find the perfect will of God for my life? I said, I've done found it. It's right there. You see, that's the what of the will of God. And the what of the will of God is more important than the where of the will of God. I'm saying, I've said this often, I had rather do the right what at the wrong where than the wrong what at the right where. I had rather be obeying this Bible, where a place where God does not have a first choice for me, than to be right in the middle of the geographical location where God wants me and not being obeying this Bible. Listen, like the pyramids of Egypt compared to the Sahara Desert, like the Washington Monument compared to the White House, like the Rocky Mountains of Colorado compared to the plains of the eastern part of the state, like the skyline of Chicago compared to the lake, is the fact that the most important part of the will of God is what do you do? And there it is right there. Do it. Somebody said the other day, said, Brother House, that I want to know for the will of God for my life. I said, here it is. Take off preaching as a preacher. He said, well, where? And I said, the Bible says, go into all the world. So if you find a spot on the world, then you are in the will of God. And if God wanted you to go to Kentucky, and you made a mistake and went to New York City and got everybody in New York City saved, I suspect it wouldn't upset God a great deal. I am not saying you should not seek where to go. I am saying you ought to seek what to do 100 times more than you seek where to go. And listen, I'll guarantee something else too. I double dog dare you to show me anybody in the Word of God that found the where of the will of God by trying to find it. People who found the where of the will of God were always busy doing the what of the will of God. Moses didn't say, Lord, where should I go? He was taking care of his work, his any sheep, and God said, go to Pharaoh. Gideon didn't say, where should I go? He was busy threshing wheat, and God said, go lead the armies of God against the Midianites. I'm saying that the people of God found the where of the will of God by the doing of the what of the will of God. And God's not going to come up somewhere. Let me just preach to the students a second. God is not going to come to some lazy student that makes D's when he could have made B's, and F's when he could have made C's, and B's when he could have made A's, and barely stays inside the rule, and barely stays inside in school, and loafs and loiters, and doesn't go soul winning, and breaks the rules, and doesn't care a thing about the souls of men, and all of a sudden you want God to lead you. God's not going to lead you. God's going to find somebody who's doing something and tell him to go there. And no need for God to send you somewhere to do nothing. You can do it here. You're doing it well now. God says, oh, I was telling you something that's marvelous. First, there is a why. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that everything God brings in my life, there's a why. Second marvelous thing about that, I'm glad he knows the why. I'm glad and by the way, if there is a why, and my God knows the why, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. But thirdly, I'm glad that God will reveal the why to me. Those are three things. I think I'll give you one more, but three. First, there's a why, and there is. You may not know the why, but there's a why. Second, God knows the why. Are you listening, young people? Are you listening? God knows the why. You need this, fellas, but everybody else does. God knows the why. Say, whoever told some of you young folks that you're exempt from needing God's Word? Whoever gave you an excuse from needing help and strength in the Word of God? Why, you need it as much as anybody needs it. You dead sure do. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. We say why too much. There is a why. God knows the why, and God will reveal to me later on the why. But, look, I'm glad about this too. I'm glad that the revealing of the why is God's enticement to encourage me to do the what. Did you ever hold a little piece of meat up from a dog? Get a good piece of meat and hold it up there, make the dog jump and then eat it yourself? Now, are you going to feed the dog? Yeah, but dog's going to bark first. And he jumps, and you hold it up, and he jumps, and then finally he barks enough, and you give him the meat. Now, God holds up the why and says, you do the what, and I'll give it to you. You do that which has been revealed, and I'll give you the secret behind it. And so God says, here is the enticement. If you want to know the deep things of God, listen to me, listen. I'm not impressed by a bunch of self-styled, knowledgeable people. I'm impressed by folks who don't know they're knowledgeable. who are so busy doing the reveal that God gives them the secret, and they're so unimpressed and unaffected by it that they don't even know they know the deep things of God. And people who think they know the deep things of God don't even know that the people that know the deep things of God know the deep things of God. Can you understand that? Well, explain it to me when you get through. I read it in the book. I thought I liked it. Now listen to me. A fellow who says, this is what God has given to me. This is the revealed thing. And he gives to me what is revealed and obeys what is revealed. And then God says, okay, you've obeyed the revealed. I'll let you in on the secret things of God. You see, we begin the wrong end of things. And that's why we have our cults. That's why we have our hyper-Calvinism. God's chosen some to go to hell, and God's chosen some to go to heaven. That's the biggest bunch of tomfoolery the devil ever thought of. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that comes because people are trying to get the deep things of God without obeying the revealed things of God. And a person who's trying to excuse himself from soul winning and getting people saved, he comes along and bypasses the revealed thing and doesn't do the simple command and obey the simple commands of God Almighty. And because he doesn't obey it, he bypasses it and he tries to find something deep because God hasn't given anything deep. And God will not reveal this. God will not reveal his secret things to people who disobey his revealed things. The revealed is too mundane for us. I like what the country fellow said. Too many folks are writing books about how it's done and ain't done it yet. Let me use a few illustrations. To get baptized is revealed. And boy, one of my pet peeves is these so-called self-styled deeper lifers who are not deep. They're so shallow they haven't gotten to the revealed things yet. Who say you got to know this and know that, know this and know that to get baptized. All you got to know to get baptized is God said do it as soon as you get saved. That's all you got to know. God holds its secret truths until I get baptized. Do you think for a single minute, we're going to wait and baptize them after they know what it's all about? Do you think God's going to tell what it's all about to people who have not done it yet? Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I think I ought to wait to understand all about it. If you wait to understand all about baptism, they get baptized in the river of life in the New Jerusalem. Because you won't understand all about baptism until you go to heaven. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Matthew 28:19-20 says, tell them the gospel and get them baptized. And did you know the meaning of baptism is not mentioned there? And did you know you'll go several books in the Bible after Matthew 28:19-20 before you'll find one explanation of the meaning of baptism? And did you know the people that got baptized on Pentecost did not know why? And did you know when Jesus gave the Great Commission and told them to baptize folks in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he didn't tell them why. Why? Because the most important thing about getting baptized is not the why. Most important thing is God said do something and you're doing it. You're not going to know the deep things of God until you act upon the revealed. God will not give you the mystery. Let's take the Lord's Supper, for example. Now, when the Lord established the Lord's Supper, he simply said, this do. That's the first two words. This do. And he went on to say, in remembrance of me. That's all he said. That's all you got to know. Now, if you obey that and take the Lord's Supper, then God will reveal to you with the passing of the days his secrets about the Lord's Supper. But it's not learning and then doing. It's doing and then learning. It's doing the reveal, and then God gives the secret illustration. To separate myself from the world. I don't have to know why. God's not obligated to tell why. If God says, don't touch the liquor bottle, that's enough. Well, why? You have to know why. And you won't know why until you quit touching it. God does not give you the great doctrine of why separation until he's given you the what of separation. And that's, listen, well, what's wrong with dancing? You wouldn't know, honey. You're not spiritual enough to know. And you won't find what's wrong with it till you quit it. And the best reason to quit dancing is because somebody smarter than you and more spiritual than you says you ought to because it's wrong. Well, what's wrong with rock music? Shut up, shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. You don't have to know what's wrong with rock music. If somebody who knows more than you do about God, and by the way, the teachers in our school and the principals of our school and the pastor of this church and the staff of this church knows more about right and wrong in a little finger and a little toe than you do in your whole brain. And the reason you ought not to listen to rock music is because we say you ought not to listen to rock music. And you say, but why? You don't have to know why. You do the revealed and God will tell you the why. Oh, my soul, these spiritual giants that want to know why, what's wrong with rock music? The truth is, God hadn't told you why because you haven't done what? But I'll guarantee you this. You quit your dirty rock music, and I'll guarantee you if you quit it and start living for God, I'll guarantee you in 6 months' time, if you live a clean life, God will show you what's wrong with it. You don't have to know the why of the rules at Howells Anderson College. Nobody needs to tell you the why. You're not ready to know the why. Some people that blaze the trail, taking off their coats and blaze the trail for a generation or two, and have learned what's right and what's wrong and what's decent, what's indecent, and have set the standards and said, this is the best way to go. You don't have to know why the rules are there. You just do them because somebody smarter than you made them. You know, I'm a little sick of this generation where the teenagers know more than the old folks do. My Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory. You don't have to know why. I'll tell you what you do. You take these kids that come to Howells Anderson College, and they say there's some people here that started this college, and the greatest church on the face of the earth has started this college, and more people have been saved in that church than any church since the church at Jerusalem, and probably over a period of 25 years, more than were saved in the church at Jerusalem. And if people like that have started a college, then I believe they know more about convictions. And we do. And for you little pipsqueak, you little sorry self-styled god or goddess who thinks you know more than people that are trying to help you, you ought to say, for the grace of God, I'll do the obvious. I'll keep the rules. I believe it's best. I don't know why, but God will tell you why. But God won't tell you. It's not you find out why and then keep the rule. You keep the rule, someday you find out why. And I'll double dog guarantee you that you just go ahead and keep the rule. And I'll guarantee you that someday you'll make the same rule for your kids. Same ones. You're doing the same thing the neo-evangelical does, the liberal does. He wants to understand God before he believes him. You believe God and then you understand him. He wants the Bible proved before he believes it. Boy, I tell you what, I don't spend my time proving the Bible. I don't think we teach apologetics at Howells Anderson College, do we? Hermeneutics? I don't think we do. First place, I don't believe in apologizing to anybody. Now, I don't mean that. But apologetics and hermeneutics that learn to prove the Bible's the Word of God. Buddy, if I had a gun about to shoot you in the gizzard, you say, I don't believe that gun's any good. You don't have to believe it. You'll be just as dead when I get through with you. Somebody came to Mr. Moody one time. Mr. Moody said, have you believed? He said, I don't believe the Bible. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. I don't believe that stuff. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't believe it. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't believe in heaven. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't believe in hell. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. And the sword of the Spirit kept piercing the man's heart. He fell on his face and got saved. Why? The Bible doesn't need proving. The Bible needs using. Use it. What scriptures would you use on a Mormon?
Use the book. Take any part of it, it's all sharp. Now, the reason I separate myself, because it's obvious I'm supposed to. I didn't know for years why. I did not know when I quit going to the movies years ago, 1981.
I did not know why I quit. You know why I quit? Because Mama and my preacher thought it was a good idea. I didn't know why. You see, some little 18-year-old boy or girl or not, comes along and says, well, I just don't agree with your convictions. My convictions aren't the same as yours. Honey, you ain't got no convictions. Hey, let me prove it to you. Anytime they say that, it's always me that has the most convictions. Now, if they came and said, I don't agree with your convictions, and if they're, I'd like to see one time that crowd have stronger convictions than I do to prove their sincerity. In the first place, you're lying. You haven't got any convictions. In the second place, you're showing a disrespect for spiritual authority. And you also know it, and I know it. The problem is not a difference of conviction. The problem is a difference of degree of love for Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Now, I did not know when I separated myself. When I quit smoking in 1982, I did not know. Why? I know why now. I didn't walk the aisle when I was a kid and give up movies. December 1943, I think it was. I did not give up movies. I didn't say, you know, God created me to glorify Him and to praise Him and exalt Him in the praise of His glory. I didn't walk down the aisle as a 17-year-old boy and say, Pastor, I'm giving up movies because my life is not glorifying my wonderful Savior. And anything that keeps me from glorifying Him and serving Him and worshiping Him is wrong. And if I go to the movies, I cannot glorify Him and not worship Him because my mind is on something that would not please Him. I didn't do that. My preacher got up there and hollered and screamed and bellered and kicked and stomped and frothed at the mouth and said, movies are out of hell. And I said, okay, preacher, if you think they're out of hell, they're out of hell, and I'm going to quit them. Yeah. Now I know why I did. I know why I did now. Illustration. Do you know where I learned the great? You know where I learned the great truths of salvation? I taught here for several weeks, many weeks, out soul winning. I'd go out soul winning, lead a person to Christ. Listen here now. Time and time again, I have told somebody how to be saved, and all of a sudden, while I was doing it, the most amazing truth about salvation came to my mind. And time again, I've said to the person whom I was witnessing, bow your head and close your eyes. They thought I was going to pray. I was writing down that new truth I just learned. You know why? Because I was obeying the obvious, and God gave me the secret. The secret things belong to Him. The revealed things belong to me. And when I do those things that God has revealed for me to do, then God opens the drapery, pulls it back, and gives me the awareness of the secret thing. You know where I learned, and I hesitate to say this, but whatever degree of wisdom I have, you know where I learned it? Counseling. I learned it because God has instructed me as pastor of this church. I'm supposed to be the pastor and the elder and the bishop. And as the elder of this church, I'm supposed to have wisdom to guide in counseling. And time again, I've been in my study counseling and folks over the house, how about this? I'd give the answer, and I amazed myself. I told them something I'd never known in my life before. And God just pulled back the curtain and said, look at here, Hiles, since you're doing what I told you to do, you're doing the reveal thing, I'm going to give you a little handful of purpose of that which is secret. And God pulled back this curtain and taught me some wisdom I'd never known before. And time again, as soon as that person leaves the office, I rush to my desk and grab my pen and write down a little. I've gotten hundreds of sermons that way. Write down an idea that I never had in my life before. Why'd I get it? Listen, I could sit in my study by the hour trying to find the deep things of God and couldn't get them. But when I obey the revealed thing of God, then God gave me the wisdom. You know how I learned the Bible? I learned the Bible because I read it and do what it says, and God's given me the secrets to it.
If I read something in the Bible tonight, it was there, I'd do it. And then as I do it, God takes me into his closet of mysteries and says, here's why you did it. Let me tell you what you did. We have scientists all over the world studying the miracle of birth. They didn't study it and then get born. When they got born, they didn't know a thing about birth. They got born and they studied it. You don't wait until you know everything about water in the laboratory, a science laboratory in a college before you ever take a drink. You take a drink and then learn through the years what you drank. Well, be careful what you drink. But your mother said, now, open your mouth, son, you know, little head bobbing, and you got a little Gerber's food, and you get that spoon, and you stick them in the cheek as it bobbles, and you put it in the mouth, and a tithe of it stays in, 9/10 comes back out, and you scrape it off the side. Now, you didn't say when you were a child, mother, before I eat that Gerber's, you know, one of the meanest things we ever do is feed that stuff to our kids. Have you ever tasted any of that stuff? Man, give that child some pizza or something good. Don't give it. I know what you're saying. My baby here's in the nursery and he heard what you said. That baby doesn't say, Mama, before I eat that Gerber's food, I want to know what's in it. I want to know how many calories. I've got to watch my weight. Teach me what's in it, Mama. No. No, you eat it. You eat it. And then, with the passing of the years, as you have been nourished by food, then you find out the secrets and mysteries of the digestive system. You know how I learned about prayer? By praying. Listen to me. 95% of all the things in my book on prayer were things revealed to me while I was on my knees. I didn't get in my study and get me a bunch of books down and try to learn all about prayer, everybody's books on prayer. When I wrote my book on prayer, I did not read one chapter of John Rice's book on prayer. Not against it. I think it's the best book on prayer ever written. Well, second best book on prayer ever written. Boy, I almost blew it. But nothing wrong with it. It's a marvelous book on prayer. But it so happened that I learned the things that I put in my book on prayer, I learned it by praying. Do you know where I got the things in my book on the Holy Spirit? I got them because I yield myself 7 times a day to the Holy Spirit. And as I do the obvious and yield to Him, then the secret things that belong to Him are uncovered and revealed to me. I say this with fear and trembling. I had a fellow, I told the folks at ordination service last night this. I was preaching at a state educators convention recently. And one of the officers of the convention got up to introduce me. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I don't know Brother House personally. I've read his books. I think he said he'd been to pastor school. I've been influenced by him, heard him preach scores of times. But I don't know him personally. He said, so I've asked somebody who does know Dr. House personally, Brother Randall Hysaw, to introduce him. And then the fellow said something I liked. This is a preacher. He said, now if Jesus were here, I could introduce him. Because I know him very, very well. You know why I know him? Because I walk with him. Do you know what's the most important thing to know the deep things of this book is to read this book? We're commanded to study it. And as we read it and study it, he reveals the deep things, not by the study. Hear me carefully now. It is not the study that gets the deep things. It is the obedience of his command to study that causes God to drop the deep things to you. It's not the investigating of the deep things. It is the obedience, and God honors that obedience by giving you those deep things. There's too much to know, and there's so much to know.
There are so many mysteries and so many secrets to know. So we go off to school to learn them. But the school cannot teach the secrets. Hear me now. The school cannot teach the secrets. The school can only teach the revealed. And that's why it's more important that a student in Hiles Anderson College be taught to pray than be taught theology. We cannot teach the secrets. The secrets belong to God. Doesn't say the secret things belong to the faculty. Doesn't say the secret things belong to the president. Doesn't say the secret things belong to the chancellor. See, the secret things belong to God. They're His. And He, hear me now, He alone can teach you the secret mysteries of the book and of life. Now, it is our job not to teach those secrets to you. It is our job to teach the revealed to you. And when we teach the revealed to you, then we teach you to obey the revealed. We have then equipped you for God to pull back the curtain and show you the secret things. You then obey them. Then God tells you His secrets. Every great movement starts with teaching and obeying the revealed. Check it. Check the sermons of John Wesley when he started the Methodist movement. He preached the revealed things. Check the old Baptist preachers. They preach the revealed things. Check the Puritans, sermons of the Puritans. They preach the revealed things. The greatest compliment, I guess, ever given my preaching was given by Bill Harvey, who worked with me 2 years as my music director in Texas. Somebody asked Bill Harvey one time, said, "You worked with Jack for 2 years." Said, "What's the secret to Jack Hyatt?" You know, as you can tell, it's not obvious when you see me. And Bill Harvey said, the secret to Jack Hyles is his willingness to be repetitious of the obvious. His willingness to be repetitious of the obvious. And the most important thing about this book is the obvious. The most important thing about baptism is to get baptized. The most important thing about living right is living right. Most important thing about taking the Lord's Supper is the Lord said, "Take the Lord's Supper." And as we obey the things that are revealed, then God says, "I've got something. I want to tell you why now. I want to show you why." The lazy professors try to steal the secrets of God without the key. And then comes era. And then comes the death of a movement. Let me give you the history of a movement. Some Spirit-filled preacher or preachers preach the obvious. Trust Jesus to go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. You pray, you read your Bible, behave yourself, separate yourself from the world, win souls, go to church, give your tithe. That's the obvious. And then what happened? Then they started schools. Hear me. They started schools. But the fellow who was doing it didn't want to quit his church and go out and teach in the school. So he got somebody who wasn't doing it but thought he knew it to teach in the school. And so a fellow not doing it was there teaching the young boys, preachers, how to do it. And this lazy professor was trying to steal the secrets of God without the key, and the key is obedience. And so error comes. And then that professor who has not obeyed the reveal, hence he does not have the real secrets, teaches his synthetic man-made secrets to the student body. And those fellows called to preach by a God-called men who preach the revealed go to school to be taught by those who teach the secrets that they're not even God's secrets because they have not obeyed the revealed. And they're sending out a bunch of preachers across the country, not like the man that sent them to school, but like the folks that taught them in school. And the dead professor is reproducing himself. And that's why that most preachers in this country are as dry as dust. And I'd rather take an hour and watch the grass grow than hear most of them. It's more exciting to go down to the barbershop and watch a haircut. Why? altar boys have been trained by those who don't know the secrets of God because they have not obeyed the revealed things of God. And so they have given some synthetic secrets like lordship, salvation, and like hyper-Calvinism. And they've made some man-made deeper things, bypassing the deeper things of God because they don't use the key to get to them, because the key is the obedience to reveal things of God. Just in case you'd ever like to know the deep things of God, may I remind you of this, only God has the key. And God uses that key when people obey those things that are revealed. And that's why the most important thing that's preached from this pulpit here is the simple thing. The repetition of the obvious. And then when you learn to obey that which is revealed, that's the way it is. A guy goes to work for somebody. What's your job? What's my job, sir? Your job is to sweep the place out. And that fellow sweeps the place. That's the cleanest place it's ever been. He's the best sweeper they ever had. And one day the boss comes in and says, "Come here, son. Boy, you've been doing such a good job. I'd like for you to be a..." Okay, give an illustration. Jim Lyons, my assistant pastor for years, came with me from Texas to be my associate pastor here. He's been an evangelist now for, 20 years or so. Now, wait a minute. Jim Lyons came to the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, where I pastored at the time. He came to visit. He's one of the nicest looking young men I ever saw. Clean cut, slim, trim, sort of like I am now. And slim and trim. And I thought, now that young man is the young executive somewhere. And I went to his house to meet Jim and Dorothy. He had two little girls. One was 5 and one was about 2 or 3. And I said, "Mr. Lyons, where do you work?" He said, "I work at Kraft Cheese." Well, I thought he's one of a big cheese over there, you know. And, that was good, wasn't it? And I thought he's a big cheese over there. I said, "What do you do over there?" I thought he was going to tell me that he was vice president in charge of personnel. He said, "I load boxcars." I couldn't believe it. And I said to myself as I drove away, "Self, they're missing somebody. That fellow's no boxcar loader." But wait a minute. Jim Lyons wasn't interested in anything but loading the boxcars. And one day, the boss man came out and watched Jim load those boxcars. He was doing the obvious. He was doing the reveal. And the boss man said, "Young man, would you come to my office, please?" And Jim Lyons, dirty, work clothes on, went to his office. And the boss man said, "Jim, I've watched you. I'd like for you to be a buyer for Kraft Cheese Company." He almost fainted. And he told Jim the things about the company. Why? Because the fellow told him to sweep the place out and to load the boxcars. And Jim loaded boxcars. He didn't say why, he just loaded them. He didn't say, "I want to know more about this company here." He didn't say that. He just did the thing he was commanded to do. When I hired Jim to be my associate pastor in Garland, he was the buyer, one of the buyers for the big Kraft Cheese Company headquartered in Garland, Texas, giant place. Years ago, here at First Baptist Church, a young man got saved. I asked him to be our custodian. Boy, he swept the place out. He kept this place spotless. But when he had some time off, he'd go soul winning. And one day I went to him and I said, "Hey, fella, why don't you just be a custodian a half a day and then you go soul winning the other half a day? Half-time custodian, half-time soul winner." He did. He brought so many folks down the aisle. I went to him one day and I said, "Hey, let me have that broom." I didn't use it. I gave it to somebody else. I took that broom away from him. He never asked for promotion. I made him full-time soul winner. He did such a good job, I made him an assistant pastor and later on an associate pastor. And now C.W. Fisk is pastor of a church in Mansfield, Ohio. I took that man into the secret things of this church. I told him things. He never asked me one time for any of them. I shared things with him. He knew my heart, like some of these men on the platform do. He knew my heart. He never asked to know it. He just did what I said to. And God in heaven says, the secret things belong to him, and the revealed things belong to me. And if God comes along and finds somebody doing the revealed things, God, the boss man, will say, hey, son, come in. See that? And tell you what it means. It does. Zowie. And the Lord said, son, guess what? The professor at Dry's Dust Seminary doesn't even know that. I never showed it to him. Well, where did he get all this stuff he teaches? He got that out of the Bible. Because it's not in it. Way out of it. Because he's never done the revealed things. The secret things belong to him. I'd like to know what they are. How do I get to know? I find out what the revealed things are. And I do them. And as I get baptized, he tells me later why. As I separate myself from the world, he tells me later why. As I read the Bible and study it, he tells me later why. As I pray, he teaches me about prayer. As I yield to the Holy Spirit, he teaches me about the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting tonight, or sitting in this room tonight, there are hundreds of you and several thousand probably to whom God has never taught you any of his mysteries and his secrets. Because you don't even tithe. You don't know the secret things which are God's because you have not obeyed the revealed things which are yours. Father, bless the message. And help us to realize the simplicity of profundity. How there are so many wonderful things available.